Okay, hi everyone. Happy Sunday. Gosh, the middle of July already. What's happening, guys? Time goes by so fast. I was telling Danielle today we're in the middle of July, the middle of the summer, and we haven't even gone hiking yet this year. We need to get on the ball around here. This is Colorado. So we're here for Holy Spirit Guides, and this is the time when we're looking at the personal messages that I've been given to be helpful to me on my path. And of course, as you know, right now specifically we're in that time period where the personal messages were given to Laurent and me. We're going to look at a couple of short messages first, and then if we have time, we'll start a longer message. But we have a couple of really short messages that are next. I'm giving you a link right now to one message. This one is called Coming to Me, meaning Holy Spirit, Can Be an Escape. So we've seen similar messages like this given to Laurent and me during this time period. So we'll look at it and talk a little bit about it. But first, as you guys know, we want to go in prayer. So why don't we do that, all right? Holy Spirit, I want to say thank you to you for all emotional responses, all emotional reactions, all emotional experiences. It seems at one time that emotions were like glue that kept me locked into the belief in a personal, individual self. In fact, not even questioning the fact that I am this body, personality, person. But lately I've noticed that emotions seem to have another purpose. In fact, they seem to have the exact opposite purpose. They seem to provide me with the opportunity to notice that I am not that. That I am not that one who believes or experiences these emotions. It seems that emotions are a strong enough backdrop that they can be stepped back from easily. Almost like it's easier to step back from stone than it is to step back from air. And so I'm grateful because what I'm finding is the experience of observer through the opportunity to observe emotions. Holy Spirit, I remember reading in A Course in Miracles that you use everything the ego made. And of course, you use it to awaken us to ourself. Bravo. And thank you. Amen. Oh, we have a new Laurent Elie Levy in the room. Laurent Elie Levy 1. Hello, Laurent. let me give the link again. I see Fran and Laurent both have entered the room. There we go. This is the link to a message that we're going to look at first called Coming to Me Can Be an Escape. So I'm going to start reading this message, I think. First, I got to find it. Oh, yes, here it is. All right, coming to me can be an escape. This is Holy Spirit speaking to Laurent and me. Coming to me can be a form of escape. Now, what's interesting about this is the can be is emphasized in a way that it definitely doesn't mean always is. Certainly, many times, going to Holy Spirit is, you know, exactly perfect. That's exactly what we should be doing. That's where we're going to get our clarity. But Holy Spirit is pointing out that that's not always the case. Now, if you've been following the messages given to Regina and Laurent, you know that one thing that Holy Spirit is helping us to do now is look at our motives. You know, look at the why behind everything. And that includes the why are we going to Spirit. So again, Holy Spirit says, coming to me can be a form of escape. Yes, you have known this for some time. Let's talk about it now. Let's look directly at it and discuss it. You will find that you are very happy that we have. Interesting. You will find that you are very happy that we're looking at this. Okay, here we go. Coming to me. Oh, look, Laurent's back as himself now. Laurent E. Levy. Coming to me can be a form of escape. A desire to feel better by escaping your feelings of now. Ah, you've known this for some time. I will never leave you alone, and I will never leave you comfortless. Okay, this is a promise. I will never leave you alone, and I will never leave you comfortless. But if you come to me only for comfort, and then go back to your ego as you, you will find the effects of coming to me to be temporary. If you do this repeatedly, the effect of coming to me can seem to be lessened because you do not carry me with you into your day. Gosh, you know, it's funny because, I mean, I think we all know that drugs were originally made to be helpful, right? But then look what we have learned to do with drugs, right? We go to drugs for a high, for an escape, and then eventually, as you know, some of us become addicted to drugs. Drugs become a big problem. Holy Spirit seems to be telling us that we can use him like a drug. You know, I mean, he was created to be helpful. But we can literally attempt to abuse him. If our motive for going to him is a escape from pain. Escape from pain, I mean, if you look at it very closely, escape from pain is a different motive than healing. Escape from pain is a different motive than healing. I remember writing something about this about a week ago. Somebody asked me a question about a couple of paragraphs, or I think it was four paragraphs in A Course in Miracles. And when I was answering the question, what came up was that many of us start the spiritual path because we want to escape pain. And that isn't the true purpose of the spiritual path. The true purpose of the spiritual path is to discover ourself. If we come on the spiritual path to escape pain, we might also misinterpret some of what happens on the spiritual path, because again, Holy Spirit isn't here to help us escape pain. Holy Spirit is here to teach us who we are. And a part of teaching us who we are is teaching us the connection between our own thoughts and beliefs and our pain. And we won't learn that connection by always trying to escape the pain without healing the mind. And in fact, what often happens, if not always, I can only speak from my own experience, so I don't know that everyone has the same experience, but what happened in my case is that the thermostat seemed to actually get turned up on the pain when I surrendered to Spirit and gave my willingness to heal, I became more sensitive. The pain seemed to be greater than it was before. But that enabled me, with Holy Spirit's help, to see the connection between my thoughts and my pain, and it encouraged me to let go of that way of thinking, which was freedom from pain. But I got to tell you, there's a difference between freedom from pain and escape from pain. As Spirit is saying here, escape from pain is temporary. And if we keep going to spirit, or if we keep going to our spiritual books, or if we keep going to our spiritual music, or if we keep going to our meditation as a temporary escape from pain, without a true desire to heal, then eventually the effects of those spiritual practices just kind of wear off. How do we know if our motive is escape from pain instead of healing? If our motive is healing, we are willing to see our errors. We're willing to see the connection between our thoughts and our pain. And we're willing to allow our thinking to be changed. We're willing to make different choices. But notice what Spirit says in the second paragraph again. He says, coming to me can be a form of escape, a desire to feel better by escaping your feelings of now. You've known this for some time. I will never leave you alone, and I will never leave you comfortless. But if you come to me only for comfort and then go back to your ego as you, do you hear that? If you come to me only for comfort and then go back to your ego as you, what he's pointing out is a habit of coming to get high off of the most recent message and then going back to the exact same thought and belief and behavior patterns, making no change in the day-to-day, right? If you come to me only for comfort, only for that high and that escape, and then go back to your ego as you, you will find the effects of coming to me to be temporary. It won't last. It's like a high. It's like a drug. It's not going to last. If you do this repeatedly, the effect of coming to me can seem to be lessened because you do not carry me with you into your day. That's no different than some drugs too, right? Some drugs, if you take them and take them and take them, eventually they quit working. Eventually you won't get high off of Spirit's messages anymore. He says, do not run to me with your bad feelings, expecting I will take them away. I do not take them away. This is exactly what I wrote last week in that answer to that question from A Course in Miracles. If Spirit was to take away our pain without us seeing the connection between our thoughts and beliefs and our pain, we would never learn who we are. And again, the purpose of the spiritual path really isn't escape from pain. The purpose of the spiritual path is to lead us to the realization of our truth. Spirit's purpose is to lead us to the realization of our truth, not to make our pain go away. You know, it's really reminding me very much of being a parent. You know, a parent knows, or at least most parents, or some parents know, I don't know how many. There is a knowing in at least some of the parents in the world that you can't keep bailing your child out of trouble. You know, that if your child blows all of their money on partying and then doesn't have the money to pay their car insurance, you can't give them the money for their car insurance. Sure, if you give them the money for their car insurance, that alleviates their pain and makes them feel better, but the habits that were hurting them in the first place don't change. It's better to allow them to experience the pain, experience the effects of their decisions, and see that it is the effects of their decisions, so that they learn and begin to make different decisions. This is really what Spirit is saying. Do not run to me with your bad feelings, expecting I will take them away. I do not take them away. I only speak to you of reason. And through listening, you let your feelings go. Through listening to reason, you let your feelings go. This reason is always with you, and you can hear it without coming to this manifestation of me. Now, what Spirit means by this manifestation of me is this specific form of feeling like the wisdom is not in me and I have to go to an other. You know, it's funny because the scribing always came through me, so it's kind of funny that there should have been this feeling of separation, but there was. So the feeling that the wisdom is not in me, or in Laurent's case, that the wisdom is not in him, and that we must go to an other to get the wisdom. He's saying that is not true. The wisdom is in you. You do not need to go to an other. You know, it's interesting because NTI says something like, Jesus speaks most clearly when he uses no words at all. Our books, these messages that use words, they are helpful for a time. But there comes a time, you know, when we need to be in touch with our wordless intuition that really is the wisdom that created these messages and these books in the first place. These messages and these books are only a manifestation, an expression of the wisdom that's already there and always has been there in us. We don't want to become dependent on any seeming external source. To allow an external source, like a teacher or a book or messages, to point us in the direction of our internal wisdom and to teach us to become masters at listening to our internal wisdom is fine. But we don't want to become hooked on the external source. We want to become both. We want to become independent and dependent. Here's where these two words that seem to be opposites actually become one. We want to become independent of the external and fully, joyously dependent on that same inner wisdom within. So Spirit speaks to us of reason, with a capital R, because Spirit is speaking to us of our internal wisdom so that we can come to recognize it by ourselves and no longer need to go to this manifestation of Spirit that appears to be an other. You know, it's really not any different than Inner Ramana's message, the grace of the Guru. Inner Ramana said that the Guru, the inner Guru, comes, right, to light a campfire in your heart. Said something like, sing the songs of your heart so that you will recognize your own heart. And he said, but when you come, you light the entire chamber. Even the idea of an inner guide, an inner Ramana, an inner Holy Spirit that still has the smell, as Laurent would say, of other, even that eventually must be let go. Which means when we listen to it, we need to be listening to it with the goal of coming to know ourself. And that is different than the goal of escaping pain. Do you see? They are not the same motive. One will lead us to awakening and knowing ourselves. The other eventually leads us feeling comfortless. So do not run to me with your bad feelings, expecting I will take them away. I do not take them away. I only speak to you of reason, and through listening, you let your feelings go. This reason is always with you, and you can hear it without coming to this manifestation of me. You do not need this comfort, which can only be temporary, right? a written message, you know. I mean, I used to do a lot of this scribing stuff. You may have noticed I don't do it anymore. It doesn't come anymore. And that's perfect. That's an advancement. But what happened when it did come is that when I went and I sat on the love seat and the message came, it did. It felt very, very good. It felt very, very enlightening. But somehow when it comes in that form, no matter how profound, how enlightening the message is, somehow there's the ability to lay the book down, lay the notebook down, walk away from the message and forget the message. The form of it itself is temporary. It's different than being constantly, consistently connected within. Right? It is different. So Holy Spirit says to us, you do not need this comfort, which can only be temporary, right? This form. You need the lasting realization of what is true. And that can only come to you without the illusion of something else, or without the illusion of other. He says, lay this illusion of me aside whenever you feel the need for comfort. So he's not saying at this point, and in fact I have several more messages, not only messages given to Laurent and me, but the whole Inner Ramana book came, you know, after this. So Spirit was not saying to me, you know, quit coming to me, period, no more after today. He was saying, watch your motive before you come. If you come to me, right, come to me as the one who wants to know thyself. Come to me as the one who is willing to find every error in your own mind and make another decision. Don't come to me as someone who just wants to escape pain. So he's not saying don't come to me. He's saying don't come to me with this motive that isn't helpful, that isn't aligned with my purpose. You know, it reminds me of a story in the Bible, the story of the Canaanite woman who went to Jesus. Her daughter was demonized, and she asked Jesus to heal her daughter, and he turned her away. And I guess, you know, based on the way it's predicted, the way it's told in the Bible, she stayed outside the house he was in, but she was very noisy, wailing and begging. The apostles were like, send her away. She's so annoying. But it appears that she wanted her daughter healed so that she would suffer no more from the pain of seeing, you know, her daughter in that way. She just wanted an escape from pain. But then at some point there was a shift that occurred in her mind, a shift in purpose. And she came to Jesus, no longer asking for this escape from pain, this healing for her daughter. She came to Jesus saying that she would take anything he would give her. Now she was actually more open. The words were she was saying she would take the crumbs. But in reality she was more open now. Instead of wanting this answer that she wanted to escape from pain, she was willing to receive anything that Jesus would give her. This opened her mind to Jesus' purpose, which is the same as Holy Spirit's, to point us towards ourself. And when she opened her mind to this purpose, her daughter was healed. Lay this illusion, meaning this idea of other, lay this illusion of me aside whenever you feel the need for comfort. If you find yourself wanting to go to Spirit because you're in pain, you know, you're gasping, you know, if you want relief from pain, he's saying, don't give in to that temptation. Don't come to me for that reason. He's not saying that you can't take time to look at your reason, to notice it's an error, to remember your true purpose, and then come to him, just like the Canaanite woman did, right? And then what you want will be given, just like it was to the Canaanite woman. But he's asking that you get your purpose straight first. Get your purpose straight first, then come to me. And you can do that because the wisdom that is required to get your purpose straight is in you. He's actually teaching you to listen to and find your own wisdom. So lay this illusion of me aside whenever you feel the need for comfort. See the need for comfort as an illusion of lack, and do not buy into this illusion. Practice everything I have taught. It is all within you now, right? Everything I've taught you is in you, and that's clearly true because it came through me. It had to be in me to come through me. It's the most obvious thing in the world. I don't know why I didn't see it sooner. There's not a word of wisdom that came through me that is not in me. There is not a single word of wisdom that came through me that is not mine. My own knowledge already there prior to any problems. Imagine that. Prior to any problems, the answer already existed in me. And that's true for all of us. Practice everything I have taught. It is all within you now. Learn who you are by being that. This was really the final lesson that Inner Ramana gave me, right? Inner Ramana talked to me about the three states of mind: the resistor, the doubter, and abiding. Resistor is the total belief that I'm this person. It's called the resistor because it totally resists my truth by believing I am this person. The doubter is seeking truth. The doubter is hearing truth and even beginning to recognize truth. But the doubter still comes from that belief in lack, and that somehow the truth is outside of me and I have to learn it or acquire it from an other. And what Inner Ramana pointed out to me, all of these messages, all of NTI, all of Inner Ramana came from within me. If it came from within me, I do not need to ask it for wisdom as if it is an other anymore. I don't need to play that game. I just need to be it. Just be it. It's clearly already there. It's clearly always been there. Stop pretending like I'm the one lacking and I have to go to another for answers. And when I do that, that's when I move into the state of mind called abiding. And this is why I am no longer a scribe. I can't follow that instruction and be a scribe too, because in order to be a scribe, I still have to believe I'm lacking and asking an other. So the scribal function has been left behind through my desire to know myself. Practice everything I have taught. It is all within you now. Learn who you are by being that, abiding. And you will not need to seek comfort any longer from me. Oops, I noticed Laurent Elie Levy has his hand up. I love that. So I am turning over the mic. Here you go.
Hello, love. Can you hear me well? Just checking. Just had a... Yes, very, very good. Yeah, I know you like it. Now, what I wanted to add, which I feel is very important, is that not only the words that are coming through you as a scribe are coming from you, meaning within you, but every single understanding of these words, yes, and every single clarity every one of us receives, every ahas, right, every understanding of this, is through our own Holy Spirit within,
yes,
who makes the understanding, he makes the scribing, and he makes the dictation, but it's from within you. And the understanding we have of it is from Holy Spirit within us. There's only one Holy Spirit, so the mind who seems to give the message and the mind who seems to receive the message are one and the same. In that case, trust is great, because this is also hearing and understanding is coming from within as well, from the same source. That's it.
Yes, thank you. That was perfect. And in fact, that reminded me of in NTI Acts, when Holy Spirit is talking about Peter, Holy Spirit said that when Peter taught, the words that came through him were Holy Spirit. But he said, when the people listened, right? It was the Holy Spirit in them that picked what they heard and how they heard it. And that's exactly what you are speaking of, Laurent. And so, if Holy Spirit can speak through us, or if we can hear anything or read anything and have that aha, like Laurent said, then the wisdom has to be in us. There's only the appearance of learning from an other. And this is what we want to hone, right? Hone, like honing a skill. We want to hone in on that inner wisdom, to where the inner wisdom is clear to us, even if there isn't an outer prompt like a book or a message or a teacher. Those things are only used temporarily to get us in touch with our inner wisdom. But we eventually want to be independent and dependent, independent of the outer prompts and dependent on the inner wisdom that's always been there. All right, so that's that particular message, and we actually have a second very short message, which this second very short message became very popular. In fact, even today, which is years later, because this was in 2007, I occasionally hear people quote this message. So it's short, but it spoke to people. So here is a link to the next message. The first one I gave you was a PDF file because for some reason it was never posted to my website. But this message was posted to my website. You may notice the title and recognize the title, since that's the part of the message that has been most quoted. It's Not True, Only Belief. Not True, Only Belief. And it begins with a question. The question to Holy Spirit was this. In order to feel my feelings, for example, guilt, instead of cutting them, I cannot fear them, right? So we're expressing our knowledge. We know this. We know that we can't fear a message, fear a feeling. We cannot fear a feeling and allow it to be too. The problem is that I fear them because I still think they define me. I think they are true about who I am. How can I let go of this perception? And this is a wonderful, wonderful question. In fact, it kind of reminds me of my prayer. Didn't I say something like this in the prayer, that I used to think that emotions, you know, were me, they defined me, and that now I love them because they give me such a great opportunity to realize myself in a more back position, more observer position, but they're so easy to observe emotions. And they're so easy to observe now, not always. But you know, if we hate, we think we're hateful. If we feel guilty, we think we're guilty. If we feel a sense of unworthiness or shame, we think we're unworthy or shameful. We think we are that which we feel. And that scares us, the fact that I may be hateful or the fact that I may be unworthy or guilty. That scares me. And so I'm scared of the feeling, and therefore I can't allow it. I have to try and escape it. So we're asking Spirit, how can I let go of this perception that I am what I feel? And here's the answer. Letting go of this perception comes from the mind, since the belief that holds to the perception is in the mind. This is why I have been teaching you that cause is not in the world or in anything that you experience. Cause is only belief in the mind, and belief in nothing is nothing but belief. Belief in nothing is nothing but belief. That's a pretty amazing sentence if you just take it in for a second. You know, it's funny because Kathy Scott Perry and I taught the original edition on Friday, and the entire section that we taught was about how we make something out of nothing. That's what we taught on Friday. And he's saying the same thing here. We make something out of nothing by believing it. Let's take your unworthiness, for example. You are not unworthy. You have never been unworthy. There is nothing in the universe that you could do to make you unworthy. Therefore, unworthiness is nothing. But if you believe that you are unworthy, if you self-judge and believe your own self-judgments, you feel unworthy. And because you're identified with your feelings, you now think that's what you are, unworthy. That's the formula for making something out of nothing. Belief. Belief makes something out of nothing. So Spirit says, cause is only belief in the mind. And belief in nothing is nothing but belief. To change your perception, look at this belief of wrongness, the belief that I am wrong, or I am bad, or I am unworthy, right? Look at this belief of wrongness and say, this is only belief. He says, call it by its name. Do you know why he tells us to call it by its name? Belief? Because we haven't been. We've been calling it fact. Fact, I'm hateful. Fact, I'm unworthy. Fact, I'm wrong. Fact, I'm bad. Fact, I'm guilty. It's just what I am. He said, no, that's not. Call it by its name. It's a belief. There's a big difference between a belief and a fact. Right? Most of us used to believe in Santa Claus, but Santa Claus is not a fact. There's a big difference between belief and fact. So when these ideas pop up in your mind, when these emotions pop up in your body, and you are tempted, or even more than tempted, you're falling head first into believing them as facts about you, go ahead and stop and say, not true, only belief. Every time you say this to the belief, you actually step back from the belief a little more. You can't say this a million times to a belief and have a belief still be there. He says, be consistent and repetitive in this. That which isn't true is coming into your mind now to be seen. This is a good thing, a great thing. Look right at it in full confidence of who you are, full trust and knowing. Don't trust your eyes, because it was my eyes that often told me I was unworthy, right, when I looked at my body. Don't trust your eyes or your thinking mind, because certainly our thoughts tell us our unworthy every time we self-judge. Don't trust your eyes or your thinking mind. Trust only your heart, which knows. With knowing, look at your beliefs and say, not true, only belief. He really gave us this as a mantra. as a mantra to say every time we were tempted to, or as I said, falling headfirst into believing that our feelings identified us. And you know, it reminds me of in A Course in Miracles, in the workbook, in the instructions to the workbook, Jesus tells us something like, we don't have to believe the Course lesson in order for it to be effective. We just have to do it. He says we may even actively resist it, but it's still effective if we are willing to do it. There's a reason for that. Even if you believe with all your head that you're unworthy or that you're hateful, right? You believe it with all your head that you're guilty. And even if you think this is a bunch of crap, that it's going to help if you say not true, only belief, you know? If you do it anyway, then some part of you must know differently. Some part of you must know differently than everything your head is saying. And you're putting faith in that some part of you. So it doesn't matter whether you believe this will work. It doesn't matter if you're actively resisting it. If you just do it anyway, it's helpful. So this is Spirit's answer. How can I break away from believing I am what I feel? Every time you notice that you're believing I am what I feel, say, not true, only belief. That's all he's asking us to do. It's funny how small our part is. I guess the question is, are we willing to do our small part? That's the real question. Okay, that's the end of that message. As I mentioned, a very small message, but you know, what's the old saying that big things come in small packages, something like that? Greatest gifts come in small packages. Okay, I'm giving you another link, or if you're already in the message that we just read, you can just scroll to the top of the message and you'll see where it says Observe the Doing as a link and it points to the right. Just click on Observe the Doing and you're going to go to our next message. And I'll go ahead and start this. We'll see if we get through it. We might. It's also semi-short. It's a little longer, but it's not the world's longest message. Huge message, Laurent says, but he's referring not to the size, but the the meaning. Yeah, the content. Okay, observe the doing. Holy Spirit is speaking. Believing you are the personality is the same as believing you are wrong. You know what? NTI Luke says this too. It uses different words, but in the opening to NTI Luke, he says, you know, you believe you are a separate identity. You know, but you also believe there is something inherently wrong with you as a separate identity, right? You believe you are a separate identity, and you believe there is something inherently wrong with you as a separate identity. That's what this sentence says. Believing you are the personality is the same as believing you are wrong. So we can't get away with believing I'm this and truly know ourselves as beyond worth and unworth, right? You just can't. Believing you are the personality is the same as believing you are wrong. Because believing you are the personality is believing you are not what you are, and that is the belief you have judged as wrong. Okay, so he's really referring back to, for example, NTI Romans chapter 2, you know, where it talks about we asked ourselves, what would it be like if everything was different than it is? That's the same as saying, what would it be like if I was something different than I am, right? And then it says, as we investigated that idea in our mind, we decided we liked the idea, we followed the idea, it seemed to come into being, and then we judged ourselves kind of like, uh-oh, I've done something wrong here. I've changed things and I shouldn't have. So because we judge the experience as wrong, we can't have the experience without feeling wrong. You know, that's something we all know. I mean, we all know this. We all experience this at a non-metaphysical level. For example, if you have a judgment in your mind, some of you may even believe what I'm about to say is bad, but it's not. If you have a judgment in your mind that it is bad to eat a cookie or bad to eat six cookies, right? To eat six cookies is bad. Then can you eat six cookies and feel okay? You can't. If you have decided that eating six cookies is bad, you can't eat six cookies and feel okay. So if you've decided that being a seeming separate entity is bad, you can't believe you are a seeming separate entity and feel okay. It's the same thing. So believing you are the personality is the same as believing you are wrong, because believing you are the personality is believing you are not what you are, and that is the belief you have judged as wrong. As long as you believe, remember, not true, only belief, as long as you believe you are the personality, you also believe you are not the one who has made this choice. If you do not see yourself as the one who has made the choice to be the personality, you also do not see that you are the one who has judged the choice, which means you're totally unaware of why you feel guilty and unworthy. If you do not see that you have judged the choice, you do not see that you can reverse your judgment. So the judgment continues inherent within the choice not to see. All right, so as long as I fully believe I am Regina, this body, this person, I have to feel guilty or unworthy or shameful. And I may experience that as hating everything and everyone around me. Yeah, and victim, Laurent says. Holy Spirit continues, everything is linked. It is all a part of one idea, right? I cannot lead you to let go of one part and allow you to keep another. I can't teach you to let go of your unworthiness and let you to continue to believe you're this independent person, because it won't work. I cannot lead you to let go of one part and allow you to keep another, because not to let go of one part is to keep the whole. You cannot keep the idea of personality as your identity and let go of the idea of wrong. You cannot let go of the idea of personality and hold to the belief in the world. It is all a part of the same idea, which teaches you that you are wrong. And it is the idea that you are wrong that leads you to suffer and be unhappy. He says, unhappiness is suffering. And that's true, by the way. I now know that from my own experience. I used to not believe that. I used to think that, for example, you could suffer from physical pain. But what I've learned is that you can actually have physical pain and not suffer. It was the resistance to the physical pain that made you suffer. It's really, it's really unhappiness that makes you suffer. If you can be happy about everything and acceptance of everything, you don't suffer no matter what is. It's amazing. So unhappiness, which we could also call judgment against, right? Judgment against a situation or a thought or a feeling. Unhappiness is suffering. This is because you were not made to be unhappy. So unhappiness is the opposite of your nature. It is the experience that is different than the experience of heaven. You know, NTI calls judgment the building block of illusion, right? Judgment, judging against anything, leads to unhappiness. Unhappiness is that experience that is different from heaven. But the key point in all of this is that it is and experience and experience. And experience is different than reality. You know that because you can go to a movie and cry when the movie's sad and get scared when the movie's fearful, laugh when the movie's funny, but there's no reality in it. So you know experience doesn't define reality. That's true in the world too. You can experience unworthiness. It doesn't mean that you're unworthy. You can experience hate. It doesn't mean that you are hate, right? You can have the experience of being a victim. It doesn't mean that you are. Experience does not define reality. Again, unhappiness is suffering. This is because you were not made to be unhappy. So unhappiness is the opposite of your nature. It is the experience. It is the experience that is different than the experience of heaven. But the key point in all of this is that it is an experience, like a movie. The entire world, the idea of personality, the suffering and the fear is all nothing. Here's that word again, nothing. But an experience you deemed to have. And if you can deem to have it, you can deem not to have it anymore. I have asked you to will for awareness. And again, if you follow these messages with us, you know that there's been a lot of talk about awareness lately in the messages given to Regina and Laurent. I have asked you to will for awareness. I've asked you to will for awareness of the motive of your thoughts, which I talked about with the first message, right? Spirit's asking us to look at our motives. I've asked you to will for being aware of clarity within yourself. Notice within yourself when you have clarity and you don't have to come to me in this form, right, through messages. Now I ask you to will for being aware of not being in control. He wants us to start noticing, to will for noticing, to ask within ourselves to notice, to give willingness to notice, not being in control. And of course, that's because, you know, somehow we have this belief that we are in control. The truth is, that's nothing but a belief. We've never been in control. Everything that happens in the universe happens spontaneously as a result of the universe's own wishes. How can any seeming independent individual control that? Spirit goes on, he says, the belief that you are in control comes from the belief that you are a separate personality. But as you become increasingly aware that you are not in control, that there is an automatic doing that moves through you, you loosen your hold on the idea that you could be independent. This is a practice I actually still actively practice, so I haven't mastered it. I mean, I actively practice noticing that I'm not the doer. The desire to believe that I am is still strong in me. So this is something I have not mastered. It is something I still give my willingness to, I still will for, I still watch, I make note of when I can tell that it was automatic, but I also notice all the times when I still think I did it. The belief that you are in control comes from the belief that you are a separate personality. But as you become increasingly aware that you are not in control, that there is an automatic doing that moves through you, you loosen your hold on the idea that you could be independent. Don't do anything to try to let go of this idea. Huh, that makes sense, right? Because then I would think I was the doer letting go of the idea. Don't do anything to try to let go of this idea. Don't do anything to try to see that your actions are automatic. If you do anything, you will not learn, because you will think it came from your doing. Let go of your doing, which is really only your thinking, about that which you do, and will for awareness of your living. awareness of your living. You can also call it awareness of being. Will for awareness. Will for that observer position. You know, it's funny, I mentioned in my prayer again that I'm loving emotions because it's so easy to observe them. I said they're like rocks. You know, it's easy to observe them. But if you were to ask me, what did you do, Regina, to get from being identified with your emotions to finding them so easy to observe, I couldn't tell you. Now, if we went back through these messages, we might find some things I did. Like I probably, you know, followed Spirit's guidance and said, not true, only belief, at least for a time. But the truth is, there's not a connection in my mind, there really isn't, between what I did to make it so that I'm no longer identified with my emotions. This seems like something that just happened, you know, which is where the word miracle comes from. So if we follow these simple instructions like will for awareness, there's not a strong doing in that, even though it appears in one way we're doing something. There's not a strong doing in that. It's very light. It's a very light following. And somehow we open ourselves up, I guess. So these shifts occur. But when the shifts occur, there's not a feeling the shift came because I did XXX. There's not a connection. And that's what he wants us to see. He wants us to see there's not a connection. There's not a doer. The doer is just an idea, a false idea. He says, let go of your doing, which is really only your thinking about that which you do, and will for awareness of your living. As you become aware from the seat of an observer that isn't doing, you see that the doing happens without your control. In this, your eyes are opened to that which is doing the doing. And you see you are not a personality, but you are a part of that glorious whole. You know, you are being lived through, I think is one way this is expressed. Life is living you. The flow, Laurent says. So we can't take credit for doing and let go of the personality too. Those are also connected, right? And we can't keep the personality and let go of the belief in our unworthiness, our guilt, you know, our absolute hideousness, however it shows up. And this has become so clear to me that I don't know how else to say it, but there's really nothing we can do to open our eyes. But we can give our willingness, which is called will for, give our willingness to observe, give our willingness to see that we're not the doer, to see the living that is occurring through us, but to see it's not coming from us. And as we give our willingness, we really aren't doing anything. There's not a feeling of doing. There really isn't a feeling of doing in that. So that when the shift occurs and when we are in that position of observing, we can't say, I did this, I made myself the observer, because it didn't happen that way. So looky there, we got through three messages in one night. That's pretty amazing. I'm usually very long-winded. Maybe I still was, but the messages were just short enough. I still have a whole minute left. let's see if... Oh, Laurent is quoting Galatians, in T.I. Galatians, where Holy Spirit, or Jesus actually, Jesus says that our willingness is love alive in the world. Yeah. All right, well, I am done. So I am going to release the mic and go upstairs and cook dinner for my family, Jasmine, Danielle, and me. Oh, by the way, welcome, Jill. I see Jill is in the room. Jill is our newest resident in Pueblo West. She arrived yesterday. Hi, Jill. So now we have Jill and Kathy Scott Perry and Donna Marble and, of course, Regina and Jasmine and Danielle and Lynn and all of the other Pueblo residents who were already here but are coming together with us. We're really a pretty strong community is building up here. It's pretty amazing to watch. And then Ruby will be arriving the 29th of July, which will be here in the blink of an eye. So that's it. See y'all later. Bye.